Blog Talk Radio.
To Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're here this evening again, once again, and we're just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking one more time. And it's Friday. It's open mic night. You know, we're just inviting everybody on to see what y'all want to talk about tonight, or maybe you just want to listen. Either way, it's all good. Have a lot of exciting things we want to talk about tonight. I want to give a shout out to all the freedom fighters across the country. I thought Dr. Kennedy was over in Europe somewhere, and she called me today, and she said, well, I said, how are you doing over in Europe, Doc? She said, well, I haven't left yet. And I'm like, what? You haven't left? And so I was like, wow, okay. So it's been a long week for me. She said, I was wondering why you haven't called me. I said, well, I thought you was over in Europe somewhere, kicking it. So anyway, we had a little fun with that conversation today. So I usually talk to her like 2 or 3, 4 times a day, sometimes 5 or 10 times a day, and just haven't heard from her. But she's here, and that's a good thing. And we'll go from there. Craziest thing is going on. I had a situation occur today that I'm quite not sure how it happened, but regardless of how it happened, there's somebody upset at me right now. And, you know, one thing I'm learning in life, you know, when things are out of your hand, it's just out of your hand. And, you know, somehow or another, Facebook sent pictures to someone else that got upset about the pictures being sent to them. And for the life of me, I don't know how pictures got sent from my phone to someone else. And so when they confronted me about, well, they didn't confront me, they sent me a message like, what is all this about? I'm like, what's what about? I'm like, why are you sending me pictures of this person? They're like, well, you sent it to me. And I'm sitting there like, wow, the devil is really, really acting up today, you know? And so, I don't know. Hey, that deacon. So I'm not even going to worry about it. I know I didn't do it. There's just weird things going on right now. You know, like my Facebook right now. I go to my Facebook tonight on my computer. I can't even get in on my computer. Or I can get in on my phone. So I can even announce the show tonight on Facebook per se, like I do an announcement. But so I don't know. It's just things are. I don't know. I drive bus all day, and I look at people, I watch people, and it's just some crazy stuff going on out here, man. I mean, I had a guy walk in front of my bus. He was naked, and he was like patting himself down and saying, "Help me, help me, help me." You know, and I got kids on the bus. He stands right in front of the bus, like, "Okay, so what do I do now?" Right? Went into McDonald's to use the bathroom, and there was this other brother, Latino brother, and he was like, "Ah, ah, ah!" I mean, that loud. And I'm like, he's spitting Corona everywhere in McDonald's, on the table, the floor, and I'm thinking McDonald's is going to, you know, do the right thing and go over there and clean the table. They care less. And that guy hopped all on that table over there. And this is how we keep getting sick, you know. And we're not sanitizing things in the right manner that we should be sanitizing, you know, whatever we're not, and it's not good. So I just been watching a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, there's a lot of homeless people everywhere, at the gas stations, behind the Trina. Hey, Trina. Hope y'all had a good week this week. And guess what? I get to go get my hair done tomorrow. I'm looking pretty wild right now, right? I've been trying to keep it down, but it's been rough. Brother needs some help right now. I should walk around with my hands like this on my head now. So anyway, I get to travel to Oakland tomorrow to get my hair done. I go all the way to Oakland to get my hair done. So anyway, it's open mic night. If you want to call in, you can call in to 516-453-9086. Maybe I'll write that on the board right now if it will work. Let's see if I write the number up here. 516. Four, five, three. Nine, oh, eight, six. All right. So that's the phone number if you want to call in and if you have something to say. Tonight is just open mic night. You know, we pretty much talk about whatever we want to talk about. You know, no heavy hitting. I'm sorry I'm late. I was supposed to be on here by 8 o'clock. Now I'm trying to figure out what did I do wrong here. Okay, there we go. And just open mic night. Just, you know, taking it slow. It's been a long week for me. My day starts like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'll get to hit my pillow probably till 10 at night. And I guess that's how bachelors live, right? That's how bachelors live each and every day. So let's see what's good to talk about tonight. I hope somebody called in. Again, I couldn't. My Facebook is shut down look at this. I don't understand. So anyway, I'll figure this out while we're on the air talking. So tomorrow, you all remember when the Trump people stormed the Capitol and did all that bad stuff there? Well, tomorrow they're doing another protest tomorrow. And so now this time they're putting up fencing, you know, all that good stuff. And a lot of those people feel that they did nothing wrong. they did nothing wrong. I mean, it's... All right, so I don't know what's going on with my email. So anyway, they feel that they have not done anything wrong. And I'm just trying to get my Facebook back up and going. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So they're going to the Capitol tomorrow. They're going to protest. They're talking about they have political prisoners and all this type of stuff, you know. But let me ask you a question. Let's say that, I don't know which one of these is my account, so this is just ridiculous. So anyway, I'm not even going to worry about it. So let's say that the people who stormed the Capitol, I could see most of them was white folks. I mean, could have been some blacks in there undercover. Maybe they painted their face white. I don't know. But to me, it looked more Caucasian. What if that was black people who stormed the Capitol? I don't even think we would have made it up to the steps. I don't think we would. Matter of fact, I know we wouldn't have made it to the steps because the Air Force would have came in and started shooting missiles at us if that was black people going up to the Capitol to raid it and storm it. And I had a bunch of thugs at what they are that day. And so it just seems like there's a double standard when it comes to white people and black people. I'm not saying all white people. So I say some. There's a lot. How we get treated in this country, right? Policing. We get treated differently. White community get treated different than the black community. Education, same thing. Inequalities there. Housing. It just goes down the freaking line that there's a double standard when how black folks get treated and how white folks get treated. Now, you all know I'm an international civil rights leader, right? I do a lot of heavy lifting. I go up against the police and all this stuff, you know, for justice and equality, freedom, and liberation for our people. And one of the things that I found to be interesting here in Mississippi, Fresno, is that I have never, ever seen in North Fresno, north of Shaw, I have never seen white people made to get out of their car and sit on the curb, and it's 105 degrees. I've never seen it. Now, I just had a birthday. I think I'm 51, I think, or 52, one of them. I don't know. Hope it's 51. I'm trying to stay young. I have never seen it before. I have never seen Fresno PD tell white folks to get out their car and sit on the curb. But I see it in my community all the time. We're always asked to get out of their car and sit on the curb. Threat. Why am I sitting on the curb? You see what I'm saying? So again, it shows that how white and black is treated different in the same community that we pay taxes with. And let me throw something else in. We're just chopping it up tonight, right? You know, I'm not hitting hard or nothing like that. I'm just talking, right? So I got to get ready and go to bed. So I got to catch the train in the morning. I'll probably catch some of y'all on my way to Oakland. A little live stream on the way up. Do you understand that when there's a settlement, me and Dr. Kenny was talking about this the other day, and she said, wow, I never looked at it like that. And I said, why is it that when a family sues the city, right? It's basically what it's suing, the city or the county, the police, right? And then all of a sudden, the city attorney says, okay, we're not going to take this to trial because we're not going to win for whatever reason. We're going to settle out of court. Now, as soon as the city attorney says that, there comes a truckload of expectations on the family. Expectation number one, if you sign to get this settlement, you cannot speak no more about the shooting and killing of your loved one. Take this money and go have a Coke and a smile. That's number one. Number two, what they say is, we're going to settle for, throw me a number, $1 million with this family. So the family already know that they can't speak, march, press conferences after they sign and get this money. But the question I was asking Dr. Kennedy was, who money is it that they're getting? Now think about it. Think about it. Just hold it and think about it. When a family sues the city, the police department, and the city says we're going to settle, who money is that? Is it the police department money? And this was I telling Dr. Kennedy. I said, that's our money. That's taxpayers' money. We have to pay for the screw-up of a police officer. We have to pay for a screw-up for a chief who do not have his department intact. We pay. That's our money. That $10 million is being forked out. But yet, the stipulations to the family is you can't do no more advocacy. You cannot speak no more. You cannot. Just look at it. That's how this government operates. It wants to silence you. Lord forbid anybody on live stream tonight or the Blog Talk radio show. Lord forbid you or anyone in your family get shot and killed. Okay? But if you do get shot and killed, understand, once you get the money, if they set out of court, you got a muzzle on your mouth. So the best way before you get the muzzle on your mouth is to start advocating for policy change. That's the only way we're going to change this is policy change. They don't care about the march and picketing and all this stuff. They don't care about none of that. But you have to go in. When you're negotiating for them to tell you to shut your mouth, take this money, and go sit up under a tree, you have to negotiate. We need to change policy because that's the only thing that's going to change what's going on in America. The other day, she was like, you're right. That is our money. That is taxpayers' money. I said, but How dare the police department want to put a muzzle on someone after they settle out the court? I don't know. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And it's going to take all of us, not some of us. It's going to take all of us, okay? Now, Aileen Reed, who is a mentor of mine, she's having a Progressive Black Summit next month. If you go to my Facebook wall, I'm going to be putting up a on the Facebook community calendar. It's all going to be virtual, right? But it's important that you get involved, family. It's important that you get involved. Don't think your vote don't count because it do. Don't think that, you know, they're not going to, my voice don't mean anything. It means a lot. It might be the right voice at the right time to change policy. That's what this fight is about. It's about changing policy. Because as I told you all last week, this past week, that U.S. Constitution, it was written that they perceived us to be three-fifths of a human being, equal to an animal. That was written. That wasn't just someone said it. It was written. Okay? That my black people was considered three-fifths. Who in the world would even fix their mouth to say something like that? Who? Nothing but an oppressor that would do that. Because he doesn't value us and what we bring to the table. He just values the money as a slave that they can get off of us. That's what's all that about. Okay. Any lawsuit or anything that goes on in your city, know that if the city attorney says, we're going to settle with this family, we're not going to go to court, we're not going to be embarrassed, we're not going to be, you know, being laughed at as a police department, so let's just give them their $6 million or whatever it is and let them go on a wild blue number. Family, we can't do that. We have to change policy. Our ancestors changed policy. Rosa Parks change policies. I've been working all day and I'm not getting up. And the bus, I said, go get back to the bus. Well, for every reason, that's where a lot of us black folks like to sit back in the bus now. But back then, Rosa Parks said, no. Or you're going to go to jail. Okay, well, do what you got to do. I'm tired. I'm not doing anything else. So I just want to see tomorrow what happens with the Trump supporters on the East Coast. Now, grant you that Minister Farrakhan did the Millionaire March. Minister Farrakhan did the Millionaire March in Washington. Million, probably more than a million. Excuse me. But there was no fighting. So now I'm going to bring it home now. One black man said, I want a million people in Washington on this day, this time. You would think that there'd be shooting, fighting, raping, whatever. But our people under Minister Farrakhan leadership went to Washington and was on their best behavior. We didn't tear up nothing. We didn't trash nothing. The place looked it better before they went. But the Trump thugs went and stormed the Capitol. I believe went in Nancy Pelosi's office with his dirty feet up on her desk. He probably had calluses and all kind of other stuff crawling off his feet, his foot. But black people have been to Washington, and we haven't tore up anything. But tomorrow, you're going to see the Trump people are having another rally at the Capitol. They're putting fencing, all this stuff up around the Capitol. But when black people went to Washington, we didn't tear up anything. Nobody went to jail. Nobody went to prison. It was just perfect. See what I'm saying? That's what this is about. It's about character. It's about integrity, right? It's about trust, right? It's about giving, helping, a lending hand. And that right there, I don't even know why I said that. Because that's one of the biggest problems we have in our community now. And I'm praying that it will change. Because if all of us have something to bring to the table to help build our community, all of us have something to bring to the table. We're smart, we're intelligent, we're beautiful people. We have big hearts. That's how our ancestors and our grandmothers raised us, was to care for the next person. Treat others as you want to be treated. And, you know, let me tell y'all something that happened yesterday. Okay, talking about my data and all this crap on this live phone now. We're having a, and I'm going to put this on Facebook. Hey, Celeste, thank you for tuning in. Brother Doug, thank you too. Just give shout outs to everybody that's tuning in. Celeste, shout out. Sharon, shout out. Brother Doug, shout out. Okay, so this, okay, here we go. My church and the Dream Center is putting on a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. I'm going to be putting this on my Facebook, because if you have children who want to come, they have to scan this little thing and, you know, all that good stuff. See how technology is? We good. I'm good. All right. So it's going to be on the 25th, starting at 10, right? So I was over there last night playing basketball with the kids and all that, okay? It's going to be from like ages 5 to, it's going to be one bracket. I forget the age, the brackets, but I'll find out and let you know. So here's my point. Just have them scan the bottom, and that's how they register, okay? I was in the store the other day, and this young man was in front of me, and he was getting kind of loud, but, you know, not saying some pretty words to this beautiful queen sister that was, you know, with him, but, you know, and we're conditioned to take that type of silliness, and we got to get out of that one. Not all women, some women. And so I'm putting my stuff on the counter or whatever, and I just happen to look down and look back up, and guess what I seen? I seen his dirty, nasty drawers. That's what I seen. Just nasty. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, now, Doug, you know, his brother got a lot of wisdom, so I cherish, you know, what he says to me, take it to heart. But I was told that in the prison behind the walls, if someone was sagging, right, means their pants was, you know, hanging down off their butt cheeks or whatever, you know. That person there was going to be somebody meat tonight. Somebody was going to eat him up tonight. Because when you go into the prison, and check this out, most prisons, I don't know how they do it, but they know sometimes who's coming in the prison before the prison guards. That's how much juice they got inside the wall of the prison, right? And I'm just sitting here looking at this guy's drawers, right? And I almost said something. But, you know, Sister Krista, she always tell me, you know, Harris, it's a time to speak and it's a time to get out of here. And so, silly me, I'm getting ready to go over there and tell this young man something, right? But my people, I mean, he must have been about maybe his 30s, you know. But I just get tired of watching our young men make themselves look silly. I'm just tired of watching them. You know, even in my freedom school, we teach the kids how to iron. We teach them about hygiene. We teach them about, you know, brushing their teeth, how to floss. You know, all this stuff we're teaching these young people so that they can sustain themselves to be self-sufficient, you know, once they get a little older, whatever the case may be, right? But it's unacceptable to see and watch our young men. I wish I could show y'all on my camera, but I'm live streaming. It won't. It'll cut you off. Maybe one day I'll put it on the screen so you all can see. I did take the picture without him not looking. He didn't know about it. But it wasn't like something I was going to go broad on, you know, broadcast on Facebook. But it was something that I want to take a picture of and show my babies, show my children, show my young men. This is what you're not going to do. You're not going to sag in my home. You're not going to sag outside. You're not going to sag at school. So you might as well figure it out, sir, because, hey, you know, Friends of Freedom School, we turn boys into men. That's the motto right there. We turn boys into men. Okay? That's what we do. And our young ladies, you know, we want them to be solid and strong, right? So, so here's my point. My point was about the sagging pants is that one of the pastors asked me would I have some words before we want to leave. And I said, sure. And I started talking about the nasty draw that boy had on. And talking down to our sister. That was the part I had to stand down on. Because we already know that people are trigger happy. I didn't know if he had a gun on him or not. He might have. I don't know. And then here I come trying to educate this brother about you a king, brother. King don't say, brother. Kings don't say. Okay? Kings have a belt on. Okay? Right? We have a belt on. So anyway. I talked to the young man about, you know, hygiene and, you know, why you got to brush your teeth and, you know, all this stuff, you know. And I really think they took heed to it. You know, I really think that they were paying attention. I wasn't bashing no one. You know, I just told them, hey, one day I want you guys to come tell me, maybe I'm getting it wrong, why is it important for our people to sag? I don't want my boys walking around Mississippi Fresno and they shorts is kind of down and you get the wrong person will grab you, okay, and molest you. I don't want to see that here. So that's why we do all this teaching with our young people so that when they get older, they have a foundation to stand on. A lot of our children don't have foundations to stand on. Okay, so anyway, phone number 516-453-9086. Call in if you can. All right. It's open mic night. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. How will Trump people act protesting? Tomorrow is going down. In Washington, it's going down tomorrow. We're going to see, you know, the final behaviors tomorrow. Because as far as they're concerned, they did no wrong with storming the Capitol, did no wrong in tearing up everything. They just did no wrong. Okay, well, fine. The policy. It goes back to policy, okay? All right. So anyway, want to thank Sister Eileen for putting the Black Progressive Conference together. Got my man, Ron McGee. What's up, my brother? I got some food for you. Got some food for you. Hey, Celeste. Got Celeste there. Trina, thank you for Turner. Is that Trina Turner? Okay, well, thank you for tuning in, Trina. I don't know if we met before, but whatever. We'll meet here. And that's my main man, Thomas from Mount Pleasant. And so, man, I got a caller here. Getting ready to shut off. 517-2-5172. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're just chopping it up, keeping it real on the West Coast tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how will Trump people act protesting tomorrow. They got a big protest that they're going to be doing tomorrow. Let's see what happens. You know, the question I had was before you start speaking, because we want to know about this progressive, Black Progressive conference coming up as well. Give us more information. But if the people who stormed the Capitol, right, were Black, would the scenario still be the same? So I'm going to say no. No, we got a problem because white folks get treated one way, Black folks get treated another way. And if we, Black Lives Matter, or whoever the organization is, would have did what those white folks did, they are the lawnmower and we are the grass. And I'm telling you, they would have mowed our behind down. We wouldn't even made it to the steps, you hear me? Let alone from our door inside the building. They seen Black folks doing that, they would have called an airstrike here with the Air Force, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Call us 5172, talk to us. It's just open mic night. We're just chopping it up. Don't want to talk to us tonight.
Hey, Reverend Harris. This is Eileen. And I agree with you about what would have happened to Black folks. If we had stormed the Capitol, I mean, we are the only people who have actually been bombed from the air just for being Black.
Black
we
Wall
already
Street,
know.
1921.
That's right. That's right. And how many other incidents that, hey, they just called in the troops, the police, the vigilantes, the racists to so-called deal with Black people. And so we understand what terrorism and racism looks like. We understand what it means to be the other, quote unquote, in this country. And these are the things that people have to accept. They don't want, it's just like with COVID. You don't want to accept the science. So many white people don't want to accept the responsibility that they have for maintaining racism in this country. And people will tell you, oh, I'm not a racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Really? If your skin is white and you benefit from that white skin, then you are benefiting from the heinous crime of racism. And so until America deals with this big lie, this is bigger than the Trump lie, we are always going to have a problem. And Du Bois talked about this. He's the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line, and we still have the same problem. And anybody who thinks that we don't is delusional. So, you know, Brother Floyd, if that had been Black people at the Capitol on January 6th, we would still be fighting because we'd be in the middle of another civil war. We'd still be fighting. So we have to accept the fact that some might jump off tomorrow because the racists are never going to die. they're never going to die out until we start putting policies and procedures in place to deal with the systemic racism. That's all I wanted to say.
To piggyback off you, I was telling the listening audience that it's policy that we have to change. Policy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the so-called forefathers, there ain't none of my fathers. I don't know where they get all that forefathers. They're not my father. Brother George, him and his crew was writing policy in the U.S.
Right.
Constitution. That's what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
We wasn't invited to come to the table to say, hey, we're not three-fifths of a human being. So that's why that flew, because there was no opposition.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so, you know, it comes to the point in time where we're going to be a man or a mouse.
That's right.
You know, you're going to be a woman or not.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. Hey, Nancy, good to see you. We got Elena. You know, we got Sister Eileen. She's going to be telling us about that Progressive Black Sermon again in a minute. But, you know, we're just chopping it up right now, because I don't like this country from the standpoint of bad policy. Now, moving forward, Sister Eileen, I don't know if you heard, but the NFL just said that they're going to be playing the Black National Anthem before each game starts. Now, how do they say that? Here's the carrot and the stick. Or how did that go? I think I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people be saying, oh, yeah. They're going to be playing the Black National Anthem. And then right after that, they're going to play the oppressor national.
Uh-huh.
Why are you playing both of them?
Uh-huh.
You weren't even thinking about playing. You was only playing the that so-called whatever. What is it called? The Pledge of Allegiance. Is that what it's called? Yeah, the Pledge of Allegiance.
The National Anthem.
The National Anthem. But if you listen to the words of the regular National Anthem, it's a lie. The words are lies. You can't tell me one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Justice for who? Kaepernick sat there, who was the 21st century Dr. King. He didn't rob a bank. He didn't rape a girl.
Uh-huh.
He didn't take someone's wife. He didn't molest a kid.
Uh-huh.
He did one thing, not just for the United States. Did it for the world. He sacrificed his career for us. And I don't believe people give him enough credit for standing on righteousness and justice and freedom and liberation for our people. People don't understand the sacrifice that he did, because as soon as he took that knee, the NFL came after him like the cavalry.
That's right.
And fired him.
Yeah.
So you can't come on my NFL plantation.
Uh-huh.
And do what the hell you think you want to do. No, you're going to do what we tell you to do. And if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're telling you to get up off that knee right now.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't get up off that knee, you're axed. You're out of here. We don't want you coming on our field. But what did he do that was so wrong? He got in 1921 a whole town of black folks house got bombed by the U.S. government.
That's right.
white folks was looting in them houses, taking out their precious items.
That's right.
Okay. So if you want to know where black people got looting from, go back to 1921. You'll see all of them looting the houses of the black people. And all black people started fighting back and was winning. And was winning. And then when they got the nitroglycerin bombs and started dropping them on the houses of black people. This Tulsa, Oklahoma was something that black people built, man. There's over 30 more cities built after slavery. And where are they at? They're supposed to have been passed down to me and you. And that's another problem, Sister Allie, is that, you know, as I told Pastor Adam last night, I said, you know, we got all these young teenagers in here, which is good. We're playing basketball, people having fun. I said, well, we got to feed them some knowledge, man. We got to sit them down so they can watch the movie, tip of my tongue. Must be tired. I can't think straight. The movie that came out with the preacher.
The one about Nat Turner?
Nat Turner, that's what I'm thinking. I'm sorry, y'all. It's getting late. I got to get up at 4. I got to catch the train. We got to sit our people down, and our children especially, and get them some popcorn and something to drink and say, don't move until this movie is over with, because we're going to have a conversation about this movie. That's the type of liberation and teaching that we teach, you and Tony and all of us. I said, because it's not good enough for just to come in here and put a basketball in a hoop. That's not going to get them no liberation. That's not going to get them. But it's a place to draw the kids. Then once we draw them, then we can start working with them. You're not going to be a dummy around me. Let me just put that out there right now. You're not going to be a dummy around me. Okay? Now you're going to be conscious and you're going to be smart. Okay? You need to pull out the film with Rosa Parks. You know? You need to pull out the film with what's that movie called? Jado Tank. Was Samuel Washington when he was the House Negro?
Oh, I think that was Django.
Django.
Unchained.
Yeah, see, those are the type of movies that we're going to be showing at my facility, my church, all that. That's the type of stuff, you know, real consciousness stuff, you know. Django, that's what it was. So you guys watch your TVs tomorrow. We're going to see if the Trump people, they protest at the Capitol, going to tear it up again. But just know that there's two sets of standards for black and white. And I'll take that to my grave. There's two sets of standards here. Okay? But you always believe in yourself.
Yeah.
I'm learning that more so now than I did when I started doing civil rights work 20-some years ago. Got to believe in yourself and keep moving, keep plowing. Don't stop.
Yes.
You know? Well, Sister Arlene, we're about at the end of our show here. And I apologize. We went over to give a tribute to Brother Solomon over at New Kingdom this evening. It was a real good program. He passed away, I believe, like a week and a half ago. A good friend of mine, know his family, brothers, play basketball together. And so we'll keep everyone updated on the day of the services, whenever that may be. And what do you tell us all the time there, Sister Lee?
I always say, stay black until we get back, because black the way we deal with it, the way we are, is a state of mind, that conscious mind. So stay black till we get back.
All right, there you have it. There you have it. Oh, we didn't talk about the summit, did we?
No, but I didn't want to be pushy.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and talk about it. I'm sorry. Wait a minute, y'all don't touch that dial. Don't touch that dial. We got some more stuff coming now. Don't touch that dial. Get back. I'll spank your hand. All right, go ahead, Eileen. Talk to us.
Okay, Freedom School, Fresno Freedom School is proud to once again sponsor the Fresno Progressive Black Summit. It will be a 3-day virtual event starting on Thursday, October 28th, and we are going to have Dr. Caroline Collins, very, very intelligent sister, a professor, who is going to be talking about her podcast as she does, We Are Not Strangers Here, and dealing with African-American life in rural California. That's going to be on Thursday, October 28th from 6 to 7. Then on Friday, we're going to have the short film, Arc of Justice, and that is going to be Friday, October 29th from 6 to 7. And then on Saturday, October 30th, we're going to have our keynote speaker closing us out with Mr. Jermaine Hargens, who is the founder of CropSwap LA. And he is going to be talking about urban farming and the importance of, water conservation and recycling and that type of thing. And so our theme for this year is Food is Freedom. And this is very important, folks, because it is important to know where your next vegetables and food are coming from, not just the grocery store. We have to do for self. Reverend Harris talks about this often, do for self or be a slave. So please join us for this 3-day virtual event. Brother Jemai's talk is going to be from 10 to 11. And there will be opportunities for Q&A at the end. So that's a 3-day event. Fresno Freedom School sponsors the Progressive Black Summit because that is who we are. That is who we are, y'all.
It was just an honor to have our board of directors and parents support this movement. This is a movement that we're working on here. It's not just our 1-day, 2-day, 3-day. No, this is 365-day. Type of liberation here that we're talking about. We're just happy. We also found out today, or I found out, that the Federal Freedom School is 501c3 exempt. I know Maria is just happy and up in heaven somewhere waiting on us to get up there with her. But meanwhile, we have work here to do. Maria was the first one who started the process, you and Maria. And then when she crossed over and went to the other side, we then had you working on it a lot.
For a minute. This is a project that we all felt was important. And it took a while,
right.
Took a long time, but we never gave up.
No, well, they told me that the 501c3 was finalized in July. I think it was July 17th or July 20th. And I'm sitting there pulling my hair out. My dreads are as small as they are. Look like little worms. But anyway, determined to find out today. That's what determination did. You know, and that's why Freedom School arrives. My son, the other night, for those he wasn't on, he received the 1890 land grant, which is a big land grant from the USDA, which partners with Southern University and the Ag Department in Washington, D.C. So a lot of the dignitary was there. I told him to try to just a little ceremony. I need some good pictures so that we could put up and so we could show everybody. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Facebook, I'm going to apologize to you. I'm going to play about 10 seconds of the song. They usually cut me off all the time. And so we're going to go ahead and see you know, how much we're going to get out of this song. It says one love, Bob Marley, one love. I'm trying to get to Jamaica, y'all. I'm trying to get out of Mississippi, Fresno, so I won't be in nobody's hair, nobody's business, okay? I'm trying to get out of here, all right? But meanwhile, while I'm here, I still have work to do. And we're going to go ahead and play this song here. Hopefully this will come up.
Global gives you all the flexibility you need to balance school, work, and life.